start Lenten season guide for everything you need to know. This is pretty complete. Get into the mood of the season. So, first is Lent is the time of spiritual preparation prior to the Easter season, just as Advent is for Christmas. Jesus taught us clearly that there is no resurrection without the Rita? Allison, what is it? Without the cross. Without the cross. No resurrection without the cross. And Lent is the church's great spiritual journey as she, the bride of Christ, joins her divine spouse in his great suffering on our behalf. But basically, you don't get the joy of Easter without the self-sacrifice of Lent. The disciples of Jesus follow in his footsteps, good, including the bloody ones. See, here's a rundown of everything major you need to know about the Lenten season. The 40 plus. Now, if you count the beginning of Lent all the way up to Easter, it's going to be more than 40 days. You know why? Someone said it. Good. Very good. So we don't count the Sundays, so there's another 7 days, and rather 6 days. And then once you start what's called the Triduum Pasquale, which is Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, that's not counted. So it's almost an extra 10 days. So Lent is close to 50 days, and the Easter season is how long? Do you know? It takes us up to Easter. So you have almost 49 days of the Lent, including the Sundays and the Triduum. So a total of 100 days. So that's a long time, isn't it? It's almost like between a third and a quarter of the year, we're in the Lent and Easter season. We should really try to get to know what it's all about. Okay, the Lent begins on Ash Wednesday. You need to go to church on Ash Wednesday? Okay. Okay, so Lent begins on Ash Wednesday, this year, February 14th. Sorry, no Valentine's Day, okay? Sorry about that, Chief, but no Valentine's Day this year, right? Maybe next year, huh? Some of the bishops said you could have celebrated the day before. No, but it's already over. Let's forget about the Valentine's, right? Let's get into the real mood of Lent, right? And it ends on Holy Thursday, this year, March 29th. On the evening of Holy Thursday, the sacred Triduum begins. Triduum means the holy 3 days. Triduum. So the 40 days of Lent I like the word in Spanish. Bruce, how do you say Lent in Spanish, you know? Quaresma, you got cuarenta. So in the Spanish, you've got the word 40 almost written in it, okay? In English, we got the Lent. 40 days of Lent correspond to the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness to... Yes, but what did he do when he was there the whole time? He did especially two things. Okay, he... To fast and pray. Fast and pray. And to endure... What's that? The temptations of the devil. And if you remember the three temptations you have in the Gospel of Matthew, there are three different temptations, right? Tony, what were they? Okay, turn the stones into bread would be the first. What, remember the second, Therese? Pinnacle of the temple. Any recognition? Good. What about the third? Great. Good. You got them all. But it's interesting, this weekend you're going to hear the temptations, but you're not going to hear any of that. You know why? Because that's only in the Gospel of St. Matthew. Given that we're in year one, year B, got A, B, and C, we're going to hear the Gospel of Mark. Belinda, do we have a Bible here in the cupboard? Just that you're aware, Matthew, you got the temptation. If not, it's okay. Okay, forget it then. Because the Gospel of Matthew has the three temptations in detail. Whereas Mark just says he was taken up to the desert, he was tempted by the devil, and then the angels came to minister to him. So it's a shorter version. So three of you gave the Matthew version. Okay? Matthew version. Okay. And endure the temptations of the devil, all in preparation for his public ministry, which would culminate in his death on the cross. The devil ever tempt you? He does, right? Can we conquer the devil? What do you think? What do you think, Aisha? How? Imitate Jesus. What did Jesus do? Pray and what? By praying and fasting, we can overcome the devil too. Now, I don't think any of us can fast for 40 days. Probably not. Did you know that St. Francis fasted for 40 days? Did you know that? Thank you. And you know, at the very end, so he wouldn't give in to pride, that he did exactly what Jesus did. He ate a piece of bread, no? But he fasted 40 days, St. Francis. Aisha, did you know that there was a priest that didn't eat anything? He only was fed on the Eucharist. Padre Pio. So for many years he would just celebrate Mass, and he'd have the host and the chalice, and he would be sustained just on the Eucharist. What do you think about that? Now we can't do that, but that was a mystical grace. And also, your friend, I think she's your friend, Catherine of Siena, did the same. She received the Eucharist, and that gave her enough strength. You know, she had the stigmata, it was invisible. And when she died, it became visible. And she slept a half an hour a night. Incredible. Didn't eat anything, had the stigmata, slept a half an hour at night, and she was the most powerful woman in the church in the 15th century. It says a lot, doesn't it? He had power over the popes. So there was what is called the... there were three popes at the same time. There was one in Avignon, France, and she had to bring the real pope back to Rome. And she convinced the pope to come back to Rome. You know how many, Alice, you know how many brothers and sisters, siblings Catherine had? I think you heard one of my classes. 25. She and her twin sister were the 24th and 25th, no? So next time you talk with your mom, you're talking about your little baby brother and sister, tell your mom she's got another 20 to go, right? Imagine sitting at the table with 25 siblings. You got the spaghetti there, you're sitting at the corner there. Hey! Whatever your name is, throw me the spaghetti over here. probably have to have name tags, don't you think? Two football teams, even more, huh? Okay, so, Aisha, you do me a favor? Read the temptations in Mark. Just there to there. You stand up. Very bottom to the next verse. Turn to the class.
At once the Spirit drove the man into the desert, and he remained in the desert 40 days, tempted. Thus saying, he was among wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him.
Good. You see? See how short that is? That's the Markan version. It's just a few words. Whereas Matthew is going to go through the three temptations that you mentioned. So just that you're aware of that this weekend, you always have the first Sunday, the temptations of Christ. Some of you might say, well, what are the temptations? You just have them generically. Whereas Matthew got them outlined one by one. Okay? Good. Let's move on. Each year, Lent offers us a providential opportunity to deepen the meaning and value of our Christian lives. And it stimulates us to rediscover the mercy. Mercy of God. So that we in turn become more right? Merciful, right? On the tip of your tongue, I kind of fished it out, huh? To be more merciful toward our brothers and sisters. In the Lenten period, the Church makes it her duty to propose some specific tasks that accompany the faithful concretely. In this process of interior renewal, these are, what are the three practices that the Church wants us to undertake in Lent? Good. So prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. What does that mean? Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. What the heck is? Does he have? Is that his confirmation name, Pope? Is it? What is it? Pope Emeritus. That was his confirmation name when he received the confirmation in Germany 80 years ago? No, emeritus means that he's a retired pope. It's about the first time that's happened in 400 years. Usually the pope doesn't retire, but he purposely, probably know about 6 years ago, he petitioned to retire, and canon law says he can under certain conditions. So we have two popes now. One is retired, and the other is active. Do you know how many popes we've had since the beginning? I didn't think so, so I'll tell you. There are 266. So next week, if any of you can name in order the 266 popes, I'll give you $5. You have to do it in order from You know, you can go backwards or forward, okay? Forward, no, Peter, Clement, backward, Francis, Benedict, JP 2, JP 1, Paul the 6th, John the 23rd, Pius the 12th, Pius the 11th. Want me to keep going? I'm boring you, right, okay? Think I can go all the way back? You're right, I can't. I can go back to Leo the 13th. And you got Benedict the 15th, Leo the 13th, and then St. Pope Pius the 10th. Then they get lost. But if you have all them memorized by next week, I'll give you $5, okay? We'll start studying tonight, okay? Alright, so next is, each year the Holy Father offers a new Lenten theme. His exhortation to the faithful as they enter the liturgical season I'm gonna play charades now, okay? You know what charades are? In mind and heart. Answer in mind and heart. You can read Pope Francis's message for 2018 in its entirety at the link below. This year's theme is what? What does that mean? For me, that says an ocean almost. I'll try to explain it to you by one sad reality. You know, when I was your age, probably 90% of the Catholics went to Mass on Sunday. Talking about half a century ago. You know how many Catholics go to Mass now? Maybe about 20%. Between 20 and 25%. So the biggest religious group in the country are non-practicing Catholics. How does that relate to Matthew 24:12? Oh, thank you, Mary. Thank you. How does it relate to Matthew 24:12 is that most Catholics, their love is really, it's really cold. You tell me, how can you be a good Catholic if you don't go to Mass on Sunday? Belinda? It is literally, say the word, impossible. Yeah, how can be a good Catholic going to Mass on Sunday? Matthew's like going up to play baseball and you're going up to bat, but you forget to take the bat when you're going to be hitting the ball. Come on. Hit it with your pinky? No. You're going to blow it. By blowing the ball, you're going to blow the ball so it becomes a home run. I've never seen that happen yet. So the fact that you have so many indifferent, apathetic, cold Catholics, I think what the Holy Father was saying is that we have to set the world on fire with the love of Christ. The believers. Even though we're less. In JP 2, and Benedict 16 said that there are going to be less Catholics. It's true. But the lesser Catholics have to be more fervent, more on fire. Jesus only started with 12, right? 12 apostles. But Linda, what would happen if all of these teenagers became great saints? With Lauren too. Their teacher here. How many souls could we save if all of us became saints? Me too. Let me tell you a very interesting story. One of my favorite saints, his name is Saint Alphonsus, okay, one of the most prolific writers in the Catholic Church. He founded the Redemptorists, and when he was in his 60s, the Pope called him, or sent him a letter and said, Alphonsus, I want you to be a bishop. And he said to the Holy Father, I can't be a bishop because I'm old now and my health isn't that good. I can't do it. And you know what the Pope said? He said to him, your shadow is enough to sanctify the whole diocese. You hear that? Now, I've read a lot. Much more than you kids. I don't think I've ever heard a greater compliment than that. I mean, a lot of compliments. Saying his mere shadow is enough to sanctify the whole diocese that he was going to be given. It's just one man. One man. And he accepted it and he did incredible good. But it was just one man. This is a kind of a funny story in his life. At the end of his life, he was, his all of his health was deteriorated, and he couldn't read because he was almost blind, and he couldn't hear that well, so he was almost blind. His hearing was okay, and he asked one of his brothers if he could read him a spiritual book. You know the story? I don't think so, so I'll tell you. So what happened was, he was reading this spiritual book, and it was so inspired. And Alphonsus said to the brother, wow! Whoever wrote that book is a great saint! And he asked the brother, tell me, read, who's the author of that book? And he said, Bishop Alphonsus Liguori. So he was reading, his brother was reading one of his own books. No, he had written a lot of books in one of his books, and he was so impressed, but he forgot that he had written that book. A little bit of Alzheimer's had set in. No? Okay, so we don't want to be cold, but we want to love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul. Amen? Yeah. Helpful definitions. Fast. It means eating less food than normal. Does not necessarily mean no food. Have any of you ever fasted? Not yet. A little bit. Any of your parents do a little bit of fasting? No. Yeah, it's you know, you're young, but you young people, you can do fasting in some ways, okay? You say that you're not going to eat anything, you can't do that, but you'll give up something. My family is there's a black sheep of the family, one that was always a little bit rebellious, and we all had to give up something in Lent. And my younger brother Chris, one day was sitting at the breakfast table and he had a big smile on his face from ear to ear. My mom and dad were there, and he said, Mom and Dad, I'm going to give up something for Lent, and I'm going to be faithful to it, and I'm going to give up one thing. And they said, finally, Chris, you're going to give up something? What are you going to give up? And he said, I'm going to give up school. Would you like to give that up? You can't do it though, okay? Is there a dessert you like? Most of the time, talking with the Hispanics, have a tendency to like salty things. And as a kid, I used to really like, one of my favorite days of the year was Halloween. And it wasn't because I liked to dress up. I was usually just a bum. I get some charcoal. That was it. To shovel my hair. Most of the kids would go out at 6 o'clock. It was Saturday. I'd go out at 12 noon. And I would be going running wild to get as much candy as I could be. Ah, that Milky Ways and chocolate chip cookies and the peanut butter cups. Oh. So giving up candy, I mean, that was kind of hard. But you have to do it out of love. Not masochism, but you do it out of love for God who suffered so much for us. He was nailed to the cross. You want to give up something for love of Him. Okay, now what can you eat? Given that you're not 16 yet, I think most of you are only 13, 14, you're not obliged to fast, but do you know the difference between fast and abstain would be? You know? Abstain means not to eat meat. So, hopefully on Ash Wednesday you didn't eat meat. Did you forget? So, even though you're not 16 yet, making that sacrifice. Now, in a carnivorous society in which we live, giving up meat for a day, big deal, right? I don't think it's a sacrifice at all. Give up something, maybe eat a little bit less. And don't eat meat also. Okay. Then, what can you eat? One normal full-size meal and two smaller meals, which if combined would not exceed one full meal. Why? Denying material food, which nourishes our body, nurtures an interior disposition to listen to Christ and be fed by His saving word through Allison, go ahead. Fasting and praying. Fasting, praying, we allow Him to come and satisfy the deepest hunger that we experience in the depths of our being. You got it? The hunger and thirst for God. That was right on the tip of your tongue, right? You had it, right? The hunger and thirst for God. Abstinence. Do not eat. Right. Hamburgers. Not eat meat. Okay. What can you eat? Fish and seafood. Why? Catholic peoples from time immemorial have set apart Friday for special penitential observance by which they gladly suffer with Christ that they may one day be glorified with Him. This is the heart of the tradition of abstinence from meat on Friday where the tradition has been observed in the Holy Catholic Church. What? Yes. Well, that's a good question, because there might even be people that prefer fish, right, over meat. Yeah, that's been the tradition for many, many years. If you go to another country, the bishop could actually change that. That's the way it's been in the United States for many, many years. But I remember when I was about your age, one of my friends said, how in Lent, can't eat meat, let's go and buy pizza. You know, cheese pizza, no? And I was thinking, that was our favorite thing, cheese pizza. Whole meaning of giving up something, we want to suffer a little bit because Jesus suffered on the cross for us. And that's the meaning of the Friday. Why do we abstain on Fridays and not on Tuesdays? What? Yes. Good Friday is the day that Jesus suffered and died, so every Friday we think about how much He suffered for us. He suffered so much for us, and we should be willing to do something for Him. Okay, next. Almsgiving. Material. Tony? Oh, you're yawning. Okay. Have your mouth open. Okay. Material. Generosity. To the less fortunate. What can you give? Money? Goods? Acts of
charity.
Acts of charity. Why? Almsgiving represents a specific way to assist those in need and at the same time an exercise in self-denial to free us from attachment to worldly goods. Almsgiving helps us overcome this constant temptation, teaching us to respond to our neighbor's needs and to share with others whatever we possess through divine goodness. Important days during Lent. First day, Ash Wednesday, marks the start of Lent and the time for penance. Obligatory day of fasting from 15 to 59. And abstinence ages 14 and over. Are any of you 14 yet? Okay, so those who are actually under 14, you could have eaten meat. Once you hit 14, abstinence. I remember even as a little kid when I was maybe 7 or 8, my parents would say, well, even though you're 7 or 8, still you're not going to eat meat anyway. Good parents will do that. Train them even when they're small to get into the whole spiritual mood of Lent. Okay, next would be Fridays of Lent. Obligatory abstinence, ages 14 and over. All Fridays, even outside of Lent, are days of penance. Following day would be Holy Thursday. Lent ends and the Holy Triduum begins in the evening with the commemoration of the institution of the Eucharist at the Last Supper. Here's a moral question for you. Happened if a lady came up and said, Maybe she came to me, Father, I want to go to confession. I really want to confess a really bad sin I committed. And the sin is this. On purpose, I didn't go to Mass on Good Friday. What do you think about that? Is that pretty bad, not going to Mass on Good Friday? What do you think? Not sure? You don't know. Okay, she said, it's a mortal sin, I'm confessing, I didn't go to Mass on Good Friday. The interesting is, there's no Mass on Good Friday. You who are a moral theologian in disguise, would that be a sin? Yes, it would, because she went against her conscience. So if you ever go against your conscience, you're committing a sin. Even though you're ignorant in that area. So if someone had come to me and confessed that I was, what would I say, trying to be a good confessor? Look, lady, there's no Mass on Good Friday. There's a celebration, a beautiful celebration. But the fact that you felt you had to go to Mass, that's a sin because you went against your conscience. So next year, when there is the liturgy of Good Friday, come to it. And there's actually 3 rites there. You got the reading of the Passion, you got the Adoration of the Cross, and you got actually the Communion rite. But whenever, that's why part of our work here is to form your conscience. All of us don't have a fully well-formed conscience yet. And part of my work as teacher and confessor is to teach our people to form their conscience right. Okay, so Holy Thursday, Lent ends and the Holy Triduum begins. Then Good Friday, the anniversary of the crucifixion of Christ, no Mass. There we have it, no Mass. Obligatory day of fasting, ages 18 to 59. Abstinence, age 14 and over. Holy Saturday. Friede, do you go to Mass on Holy Saturday? There's no Mass, okay? But the evening there is. But that Mass, that night, is actually for Easter. So the whole day of Holy Saturday, there's no Mass. And if you go to the church, is the church a little bit different than usual? How is the church different than the other days of the year? Therese? Okay, good. The tabernacle is open, and the vigil light is blown out, as well as the altar is there also. It was very, very sober. Why? Jesus is dead. Well, Jesus is dead. He's not going to be rising until when? That night. Celebrate the Easter vigil night. Mass. Okay, the sacred, next. So Holy Saturday, Christ is in the grave, conquering death and freeing the captives. Final day of the Lenten fast. No daily Mass. Easter vigil begins at sundown. Finally, the... Matthew, you about to say it? The sacred Triduum. After Holy Saturday. A period of 3 days. Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, during which we remember Christ's passion, ending at the Easter Vigil, Saturday evening. And finally, what's the most important day of the year? Easter Sunday. Lent has ended, and the joy begins. The day of Christ's resurrection. The principal Christian feast of the entire liturgical year. This is the celebration of Christ's victory over sin and death merited by for us by His passion, death, and resurrection from the dead on Easter Sunday. Obligatory duties for Catholics during Lent. Number one, fasting and abstinence are obligatory duty on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. Next, abstinence. Do not eat meat on Fridays of Lent. Treat it as a day of penance. Next, confession. Catholics are obliged to fulfill their Easter duty by receiving Holy Communion at least once during the Easter season from Easter to Pentecost. Therefore, the sacrament of penance for any mortal sins is required prior to this and is strongly recommended as a Lenten penitential practice for any venial sins prior to the Easter feast. So you have to go at least once a year, but you should try to go at least once a month. At least once a month. We're all sinners, right? Yes.
Or every week.
Or every week, yeah. So much the better. Yeah. Every week. Are there people go every week? Nothing wrong with that. You got Father Antolini now in the confessional. There's another priest going to one of the confessionals. You know, most parishes just have 1 hour a week, but we've got every day, right? 8, 12, and 6:15. Saturday, we got a lot of hours. This is a parish where we probably have most confessions, maybe in L.A. So, be thankful for that. Be thankful, no? Best Lenten practices. This entire season of Lent is a penitential season. The liturgical color for Lent is purple, like Advent. Show that it is a special time of penance. Taking up additional practices such as self-imposed fasting outside the obligatory times, Lenten devotions in the spiritual reading, and what else? Yes, but also in the order of our scheme here, reading, and after that, Stations of the Cross. Oh, yes, Feeding of the Poor. Not a bad idea. Hey. You do that too. Station of the Cross. Here in our parish we have them every Friday at 5:15 during the Lenten season. And praying also the daily rosary. Good. Serving Allison the poor, etc. All enhance the penitential and spiritual aspect of Lent. Make the sacrament of, I don't even know a different name for confession begins with an R. Reconciliation, confession, an important part of your Lent penitential practice. Many parishes have special times for confession during Lent. One traditional devotion toward the sacrament is to make a general confession of your whole life using an examination of conscience. Attend Mass on Ash Wednesday, already passed. Was not a holy day of obligation. All that occurs attend to receive ashes on the forehead. What's more important, ashes or Holy Communion? You got it. Attend Mass on Holy Thursday to commemorate the institution of the Eucharist called the Mass of the Lord's Supper. At 3 o'clock on Good Friday, pause and make a special effort to keep this hour sacred. This is the hour of Christ's what? Death on the cross. After which redemption for mankind was completed. Praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet is ideal at this time. It just takes 5 minutes. If possible, try to clear your schedule in order to participate in the traditional veneration of the cross service on Good Friday. Continue your Good Friday fast up to the start of the Easter Vigil to correspond to the entire time from Christ's what? Death on the cross until His resurrection on Easter Sunday. And attend the Easter Vigil at sundown on Holy Saturday to welcome the Easter Sunday feast. Pray for those being received into full communion with the Catholic Church at that Mass, that they will remain faithful to Christ and His Church, grow in holiness, become saints. On Easter Sunday, throughout the Easter season, fully celebrate the joy of Christ's resurrection, the conquering of sin and death He merited for us. Greet one another with a Paschal greeting, Easter acclamation, Christ is risen, and the response is, He is risen indeed. Let's say our closing prayer of the Blessed Mother. We'll see you in Mass on Sunday. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mary, my Queen and my Mother, give myself entirely to You, and show my devotion to You. I consecrate You this day, my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being without reserve. Wherefore, good Mother, as I am Your own, keep me and guard me as Your property and possession. Okay, God bless you. See you on Sunday. Okay.